Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Super Footy Draft Podcast for 2019. We are, of course, closing in on the two nights where the best young talent in the country will find out their AFL draft fate. Some of them already linked with clubs, certainly those that are going to go high up in the draft order. My name is Tim Mitchell. I'll be hosting today with a couple of our draft experts in the Herald Sun bunker, in Jay Clark and Chris Kavanagh. Cav, you've been all over the draftees, not just in the past month or so, but all throughout the year. I'm sure you're looking forward to next Wednesday and Thursday night.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, Tim. Yeah, plenty of good prospects, a lot from Victoria. Not so many Victorian teams with picks in the top 20 there, but yeah, interstate dominated. But been interesting Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Yeah, that's certainly right. Plenty of players probably looking interstate for their likely homes in this year's national draft. Also joined by Jay Clark, who's been all over the latest manoeuvring going on. Already some pick swaps have taken place, but certainly looks like, Jay-Z, that Melbourne might be a real key player with a couple of top 10 picks and what they might do with those.
There's been an extra element added to the draft, hasn't there? Because, of course, we're all excited about the kids and how they come in and who can make the impact and change your team's fortunes. But now with the live pick swap element, and we saw this happen with Carlton last year, there's major intrigue around that, isn't there? And as it sits now, there will be some major moves inside the top 10 as it sits leading into draft night next week. And as you said, like, Melbourne is the really intriguing one here for me, fellas, for two reasons. And if you're a Demons fan, you just shift a little awkwardly in your seat, I reckon, or nervously somewhat, because not only are you taking the first ruckman in the best part of 10 years at pick 3, which is a very high pick for a big bloke on recent trends, but then also pick 8, they're going to swap that. So they're going to trade out pick 8 and then welcome two other picks, whether that's 15 and 20 from Gold Coast or 12 and 18 from Port Adelaide or 14 and 17 from Geelong. They're looking to turn that pick into two later picks. Because I think, Cav, as you know, a lot better than I, this year I think there's a couple of standouts, sort of, you know, Matt Rowell, Anderson 1 and 2. You know, number 3, whether it's Jackson or Young, most clubs have got those two up there. There is a big even shelf up to 2025.
Even into the 30s from clubs I've spoken to.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you've seen a club like North Melbourne or trade back a bit because they think they can get some really good value. The picks in the 20s, they got 30 from Hawthorn as well. So it's going to be so interesting to see how this all plays out. But you're right, there are going to be some moves in the top 10 and Melbourne is absolutely central to that.
So it sounds like the thinking from the DJ is that they can get two players for the price of one, essentially, and those two turn out to be 8 out of 10 players throughout their career. They might have traded out a 9 out of 10, say, for example. They'll come out a lot better off in the long run if they can get a couple of players that they've got on their draft board in those teams for one of those couple of picks that you spoke about.
Yeah, exactly right. And so we know they want a small forward, which is, we think, would be Cody Waitman. Kev, do you want to tell us a little bit about Cody Waitman? Because they missed out, Jeff Gallup moves on, they missed out on Jamie Elliott, clearly looking to bolster that small forward department. He seems like the one who's on their radar.
Yeah, so he's been touted as a possible top 10, but he might slip a little bit further for him if they do trade down there. He's an exciting small forward prospect. He missed a bit of last pre-season with some injuries, including some minor knee surgery, but that hasn't held him back this year. He's worked really hard. He's working with the same running coach as Richmond's Jack Higgins and has traded alongside the Tiger for some time now as well. So he was the leading goal kicker at the Under-18 National Championships. He kicked 9 goals in 4 games there and plays a bit taller than his 178-centimetre height suggests. So I've spoken to his NAB League club there down at Dandenong Stingrays and they can't speak highly enough of him and his dedication. And he's shaping up as a pretty exciting prospect for the Demons if they do, in fact, snap him up.
And Jay, you mentioned that the D's are very keen on one of the best ruck prospects we've seen, well, in the best part of a decade. They're talking since Brodie Grundy was drafted at what has proven to be a real steal by Collingwood and late in the first round all those years ago. But Luke Jackson's the name that the D's are really hot on. They've got Braden Pruce on their list as well as Max Gawn, so it's an interesting mix with the trio down there of talls. But there is some suggestion that Jackson's that good, he could probably slot into that team from round one.
And this is where I say Melbourne fans maybe shift a little bit nervously, because they are going to go a big block. They've already got Max Gawn, as you said. But I think if Essendon traded Danaher and got pick five, Jackson was the man they would have been after, and Geelong also are very keen on him. He'll be gone by then. Now, why they love him is because of his hunt at ground level. So he's like Grundy, Cav down at ground level, his chase, his tackle-up work. They think he can almost play as a big-bodied midfielder in there. So he's got that sort of desperation at ground level. We know he's a former basketballer, but also we could see early in his career him play as a key forward. So if you're a Melbourne fan, you're thinking, yep, there's a spot there to work in tandem with McDonald and then maybe chop out or help out Gawn in the ruck as well. So he's got some versatility, Cav, which really ticks some boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would be the first time a ruckman's been taken in the top five since Nick Nanui and went at pick two in 2008. So it'd be a fair story if it comes off.
Yeah, definitely. We have seen the trend, hasn't it been, Chris, in recent years? Teams more likely to go for those mature ruckmen and trade to get guys in from other clubs. It happened in a couple of cases in this year's exchange period as well. Mark Pitney going over to Carlton. Andrew Phillips as a backup to Essendon as well in all that manoeuvring that took place during the trade period. And the D's, as we say, going to be interesting to see how Luke Jackson turns out. Now, this talk that he might play round one, Chris, will interest a lot of super coaches out there that are listening as well. If he's taken at pick three, you're probably looking at a price of $190,000, $200,000, which is a lot to spend for a rookie. Is he the type that can come in and with some of these traits that he's got potentially impact from round one, or is he going to be a real project for the Demons?
Well, Jay actually spoke to Peter Sumich, the West Australian coach, a couple of weeks ago, and he believes he can play just about round one, I think, Jay.
Play early. Yeah, yep. 10 to 12 games next year was his prediction, and he knows him better than most. So he's got that bigger body, basketball background, loves getting his hands on the footy.
Average 37 hit-outs, 15 disposals, and 110 supercoach points in the National Championships this year. So some pretty solid numbers if he can replicate that at AFL level.
Yeah, it definitely is. Now, Jay, yourself and Sam Landsberger, you put your necks on the line and named how you think the first 14 picks of the draft are going to play out, which is going to be, well, that real key early period, certainly. I think one and two, most people know that Matt Riel and Noah Anderson are more than likely 99% headed to the Gold Coast with those two picks. But how do you see the rest of the top 10 and then those later picks playing out?
Yeah, and I'll quickly raffle through them because I want to get to Carlton and what might happen between Carlton and Fremantle. But three, Luke Jackson. So four, GWS Giants. We think they've got two players circled. That's Lockie Ash, who's got the speed off halfback, or Hayden Young, who's the excellent kickoff halfback. They're the two they're weighing up. We think they're going to go for Ash. They haven't actually decided yet. That call hasn't been made, but we think they're leaning towards Ash. At five, we think Sydney then will bid for Tom Green, who is the GWS Academy prospect. So that means the Giants will get Lockie Ash at four and Green at five. He's the Patrick Cripps stop. Sydney next, they want an inside bull. And this one, Sam Flanders from Gippsland, has got some X factor. He can play midfield forward. So he ticks that box. Seven, Adelaide. They've traded down. They, we think, will go Fisher Mackesy, who's a sort of Jeremy McGovern style centre half back, can go forward. They've lost some centre half backs of late, haven't they? So, we saw Keith go. We saw Davis go. We saw
Leavers come back to Melbourne.
Exactly. So they could do with him. He marks it like some of the best going around.
Aaron Norton, clone Fisher.
Exactly. So if you see Aaron Norton, you think, geez, if he's anything like him, we'll have him at our club. Fremantle, eight. So here's the slider, Young, we think. He's been touted as a top three pick all year. If Fremantle can get him, use his laser boot off half back, that's a big tick for them. Melbourne, we think, will trade that pick, either Geelong, Port Adelaide, or even Gold Coast. And if Gold Coast get their hands on it, I reckon you can slot in Devon Robinson, the WA captain, the Joel Selwood-style on baller. Needs to work on his kicking, but I think Devon Robinson could be the man there. Carlton are next, and I think they'll threaten to bid or could bid on Liam Henry. So that would thwart Fremantle's plans. Fremantle have the pick next. They want the lethal small forward. So here's where Carlton say to Fremantle, we won't bid. Let's do a trade. You have the pick above us. and you get Liam Henry and you give us something on the side a little bit later. Or if you don't do the trade, they'll bid on Henry, and I think they really like him. You know, he's a great kid. I think he started his own tie company, or he makes ties. You know, they absolutely love him as a person. He's got some speed and some tricks and some in the forward half. So that Carlton and Fremantle pick could swap. We'll keep working on that over the next couple of days. Carlton at 10, Caleb Sarong. Hawthorn, Brody Kemp is there. They love him. Port Adelaide, Dylan Stevens, of course, a Norwood midfielder, and Western Bulldogs have done a lot of work on Miles Bergman at 14. I'm interested in Hayden Young, Cav, because he's the big slider here and could be a fascinating story. If he gets to Fremantle at 8, you know, that would be seen as a big win for them. Tell us about him.
Well, I think it's with a lot of those guys, I think it's just a needs basis. So, Jay, for the top 5 or 10 there, there's been a couple of other that have slid as well. Like Caleb Sarong was talked about, top 5 earlier in the year, and he's dropped down that order a little bit just because some of those clubs up there don't really need inside midfielders. Yeah. So I think it's just, it's not so much what Hayden Young's done wrong. It's more where clubs lie.
His disposal's elite.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Very highly rated kick.
And for Carlton, boys, Timmy, you'll be excited about this as a Carlton fan. Caleb Sarong. So if he gets to 10, he's 179-centimetre midfield forward from Gippsland, Cav. Mm-hmm. He's got some tricks in the forward half.
Yeah, he does, yeah. The Gippsland power, where he's from, they say he can sit on heads. He's only 178 centimetres, but, yeah, he's got that leap on him that really excites. He was the second-ranked player at the National Championships behind only Matty Rowe. So, yeah.
Robbie Gray, sort of?
Yeah, a little bit of Robbie Gray, yep. As I said, he's been in that top 5 conversation, and he's certainly a top 10 chance alongside.
Playing devil's advocate, why wouldn't Melbourne just hold pick 9, or whatever it might become, depending on a bid, and take Caleb Sarong if they want to bolster their forward line?
And this is where that decision could be made live on the night. So Melbourne at pick 9... wait and see what's left, if Sarong is there, or whether they really want to get the 2 for 1, given it is a really even talent pool. That's where we're going to be left hanging here until their actual pick, because they'll have Geelong, Port Adelaide, Gold Coast on the phone and be looking at the player they've got, the players that are available of their pick. So that is really the intriguing part. You're a Carlton fan. You've already got Curnow, Mackay. Don't really have that small that ground level threat. So how excited would you be with a Sarong type?
It'd be a pretty good consolation for missing out on Tom Papley, wouldn't it? So they went after that in the trade period. That was one of the picks that was going to be involved in the deal for Tom Papley, we're led to believe. Yep. That all fell over because Joe Danaher wasn't granted his request to head up to Sydney. So you think that if Carlton can get a kid that can be damaging in the forward half, but also have an impact around the clearances as well, that'd be pretty good consolation. And yeah, he sounds like a really strong type with sort of some proven numbers in the national carnival, which is a great breeding ground for talent. So I think Carlton fans would be pretty happy with that outcome, based on the fact that, well, you'd think they're probably going to have another crack at Tom Papley in 12 months' time anyway.
Yeah, he's certainly more than just a forward. He can play genuine midfield role, and he's definitely an exciting prospect. I think Blues fans would be pretty happy to see him at Princess Park.
And we should say the preseason draft, so that's on Friday. Jack Martin, done deal. They'll get him for nothing. People were so harsh, so critical of Carlton and their trade period, saying, well, they didn't get Papley and they didn't get Martin. Well, they did get Martin. They got him for free. They get him for free, essentially, and that was part of their trade plan. So I think people totally misread Carlton's trade period, because it's got to ultimately deliver Jack Martin for nothing. And we still don't know whether he's going to be a superstar or a part flop, really. I mean, there is some risk attached to that pick, but he's coming for not much.
So a fair bit of the talk, Jay, since that trade period has been Gold Coast was within its rights to hold its ground. It was a stance they had to make, but they're now going to lose Jack Martin for nothing when they could have at least got, well, a second-round pick or a package of second-round picks out of Carlton as well. Do you think the Suns did the right thing standing their ground?
Well, yes, they've made the stand, but from my question is, what does that actually mean? Like, a manager's going to be deterred next in 12 months' time, players? I personally don't think so. I mean, that's Craig Cameron and their team's work. I mean, if it was me, I would have taken the future second, future third, which essentially equates to a late first-round pick anyway. That's what I would have done. I don't think making the stand actually means much. It's all froth and bubble, really. But they know what they're doing.
And Jay, you mentioned there might be a bid between Carlton and Fremantle, but certainly it seems almost a lock that at probably pick five, as you say, that Sydney Swans will bid on Tom Green, who Champion Data had rated as the second best player behind Matthew Rowell in this draft. Chris, what can you tell us about Tom Green? Why does Champion Data rate him so highly, and why is it that the Swans are going to bid on him with pick five? And GWS was so keen to get in front of them with the pick swap we've seen them take with Adelaide, giving up a fair bit in a first-round pick in next year's draft.
Yeah, so Tom's certainly one of the real stories of this draft. He's a boy from Canberra. He dropped 8 kilos last summer and decided to get really serious about footy. And he's drawn comparisons to Patrick Cripps, which is a pretty high praise indeed. As you said, Champion Data did have him at number two on their list of top 30 prospects, behind only Matthew Rowell again. And he's the best ever contested ball-winning junior they've recorded. So,
boy.
Yeah, that's big. He's also got clean hands. He's got good vision and real leadership qualities as well. And he's a son of four-time Richmond Premiership player Michael Green. And his dad also spent some time at Pump Road in the under-19s with the Tigers. So some good genes there.
Can you imagine the uproar if the Tigers had got him father-son, Chris?
It would have been nice, I think.
I'll tell you what, after winning two premierships in 3 years, people would have been thrilled about that.
But GWS, I mean, they've just played in a grand final, and they're going to get him plus another, as we say. So they're in a pretty good spot as well.
Yeah, certainly. So can you explain that bidding process to us, Jay, and why the Giants were so keen to get to pick four? So they looked at a few scenarios to make that happen in the trade period. They weren't able to get it done, but it has been the case now. So the deal involves a swap of pick four and pick six in this year's draft. So that's with the Swans, GWS,
yep.
Sorry. GWS and Adelaide. It now means that Adelaide's picked up, I think, another pick in next year's first round, which is a great result for them. They're rebuilding now under their new coach, Matthew Nix. But why was it that the Giants were so desperate to get in front of the Swans?
They had to get in front of the Swans because the Swans are going to bid, because Tom Green is exactly what Sydney needs. And he's, he's not from the area, but sort of New South Wales, I guess. So they needed to jump up ahead of the Swans, and that would enable them to get a player and then Green. When the bid obviously comes from Sydney. Otherwise, they would have lost Green. They would have lost a whole lot more points to Green, obviously. So this enables them essentially to get two absolute stars at the top of the draft order, and continues their excellent work under national recruiting manager Adrian Caruso. You look back on the GWS drafts of recent years, and I think they've done some really tidy work, not just at the top of the order where they've got Tim Taranto, but through the back end as well. So I reckon the drafting's been excellent.
Chris, Gold Coast, with the concessions they've received for the next couple of years, are a huge player, and it seems almost certain, as we've said, that Matthew Rowell and Noah Anderson will be heading up to the Suns with picks one and two. Best mates, both great players, seem like great kids as well from the interviews that we've seen them do throughout the year, certainly with yourself and others. But what are the Suns getting with these two, and are they the types you think that will not only settle on the Gold Coast, but hopefully have a long-term future up there for the Suns supporters?
Well, the Suns would hope so, and that's part of the retention strategy for them to pick up two mates from Melbourne. Rowell's seen as the standout number one pick and has been throughout most of the year. He's been ultra consistent. He's likened to Joel Selwood and Lachie Neal, an inside midfielder who averaged 25 disposals, more than five clearances, six tackles for Vic Metro at the National Carnival. And then with Noah, he's more of an outside running midfielder in the mould of a Marcus Bontempelli type. And he can also go forward and kick goals, which is a bit of an undervalued part of his game, underrated part of his game. So they're two different type of players who can really complement each other quite well. And I spoke to former Hawthorn recruiter Gary Buchanan the other day, and he said Gold Coast would be mad not to pick him with picks one and two, and also mad not to play him in round one next year. He thinks they're really AFL ready, and there's no point wasting time developing them in the near full. So.
Didn't Stephen Wells say Matthew Rowell would have played for Geelong this year? Well, I don't know whether it was in jest, but I feel like maybe during the trade period that was a suggestion that Wells threw up, which if Matthew Rowell's going to walk into that Geelong midfield, that says something.
If you look at some of the footy he's played this year, yeah, it's been pretty sensational. So
one recruiter told me he's better than Sam Walsh. To expect him to play better footy than Sam Walsh did this year, next year. So if it's anything like Walsh level, unbelievable.
Well, Sam Walsh had, I believe, Jay, what was it, the record for The most numbers by a first-year player, most disposals by a first-year player, wasn't it?
It was very high.
Yeah.
And Walsh's numbers were quite similar to Rao this year, so...
Okay, no, so that's a pretty good comparison between those two absolute guns. Is there any chance heading into the draft that Gold Coast will consider a trade for picks one or two? And what do you think it'd take, Dave? They're not going to trade pick one because I think everyone knows Matthew Rael is absolutely elite. But
good story, Cav. but fair income, a million to one of that happening. So, mate, great story. I read every word, but just... more chance of me playing for Gold Coast next year than them training picks one and two.
Oh, I just wrote it. I didn't say,
Jay. Loved it, mate. I loved it.
So is it any prospects, Chris, or a real long shot?
Let me be clear. There is more chance of you playing full forward for Gold Coast next year than them trading picks one and two. It won't happen. They will take both of them.
For those that don't know, I'm about 170 centimetres tall, and I don't think I've got a kick playing local footy. So, no chance of that happening. Carlton is the other Victorian club that has a top 10 pick. We already touched on the fact that Caleb Sarong might be one that's in the mix for their pick. Who have you got around that mark that Blue supporters might like to know about as well, guys? Is there anyone in particular that, if Caleb Sarong's already off the board, that the Blues might consider?
Well... you've done the work on the boys, Kev.
Which of these do you think might be in the mix, Chris, in that top 14 that Jay and Sam threw up?
Yeah, we think Brody Kemp might be there as well. He's from Bendigo Pioneers. Hawthorn's into him at pick 12, as we said as well. And Miles Bergman might be a chance too. He's been a bit of a boulder. He's come out of nowhere in the second half of the season and really pushed into that top 20. I believe he's been invited to the first night of the draft there too, so... he's another one there for the Blues.
Cav, let's talk father-sons. There's not too many of them in this year's national draft mix, but the one that's likely to be taken first is Finn McGuinness, who will head to Hawthorn. Certainly great numbers at the national combine that there was some suggestion afterwards that the Hawks might even have to match a bid pretty early on for him. Where do you think he's going to sit in the draft order and what will Hawthorn have to give up to get him down there to Waverley?
Yeah, well, I think that the Hawks are hoping he slides past their pick 11 and then they can snap him up later in the first round if he falls there. He's a Sandringham Dragons midfielder. He's had a massive year and he's taken his fitness up a notch. I spoke to someone at the Dragons yesterday who said that he came back at the start of the year as the best prepared player they've seen in their time there. His dad, Scott, played in two flags for Hawthorn, and his grandfather, Norm, also played in the Brown and Gold. So be some story if he becomes a third generation of the family to play for the Hawks.
Yeah, certainly, guys. I've loved the insights. Enjoy your draft week. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of news at heraldsun.com.au and in the paper over the next few days leading into the national draft and also on draft nights over Wednesday and Thursday night as well. So, Jay, I'm sure you'll be all over the bidding and everything else that's going to keep us busy. So thanks for your time.
Thanks, Timmy. Good work, Kev.
And Chris, great insights into all the players as well. So thanks for joining us on the Super Footy Draft Podcast. All the best to all those players in contention on Wednesday and Thursday night.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.